The Queen's Jewish Link presents the Jewish Living Podcast, the show that examines the many facets of Orthodox Jewish life. Here's your host, Izzo Zwirin.
The best sporting event on the calendar is fast approaching. I don't know about you, but I love the Olympics. There's just something so poetic about athletes competing for the glory of their country and for the love of the sport. After a year-long delay, the Olympics are back. And this year, it includes a surprise country competing in an unlikely sport. Israel is going to be sending a baseball team to the Olympics for the first time ever. And this is even more unlikely than you may think. And to break it all down is this week's guest.
Hey, I'm Zach Rabb, currently merchandise marketing manager for Team Israel Baseball in advance of their first ever Olympics appearance in July.
Zach and I will discuss the history of baseball in the Olympics, Team Israel's road to get there, and how you can see them live and in person. So Zach, thank you so much for joining me this week. So tell me a little bit about yourself before we get into Israel baseball and all the things that are going on with the Olympics. How did you get involved with Israel baseball? I happen to know the story, but it's a fantastic story, but if you can share it with my audience, that'd be great.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thank you for having me, Izzo. My story, I mean, born and raised South Florida, born and raised a baseball fan. Have loved baseball since the day I was born, thankfully. My dad raised me that way. And that set me on a journey. I've been a Marlins fan my whole life. And yeah, eventually Team Israel got a team in around 2012. At that point, I had been living in Israel actually for 2 years. Found out Team Israel was going to be playing baseball. And I said, holy cow, these are my two passions combined. I got to be a part of this. And I attended all of the games that Israel baseball played. It was actually down in Florida, so that was very convenient for me. Watched all those games, was heartbroken as Israel did not qualify for the big baseball tournament in the world. It's almost like the World Cup of soccer. It's called the World Baseball Classic for those of your listeners who don't know. So I was heartbroken, waited another 4 years from 2012 to 2016 because it's a once every 4 years tournament. Still, while living in Israel, just waited, counting down the days till I could watch Israel baseball play again. And sure enough, they did. Sure enough, they qualified for this massive tournament. Brought Israel baseball onto the world stage, got a lot of exposure. I had the time of my life watching my two passions play out on the field and watching them qualify for this massive tournament. And I was surrounded with friends and just a lot of fun getting to meet the players, getting to meet the staff, making a lot of great connections along the way and meeting some amazing people who are passionate about baseball like myself. And that's continued in this journey where I ended up living in Israel for 9 years and staying very closely connected to Israel baseball throughout the past couple of years as they've now qualified for the Olympics. And here I am now working full-time, not exactly full-time. I treat it like full-time because I care, but it's really a part-time gig on the side, helping fans just like myself who have either been following Israel baseball since 2012 like me or who are just learning about Israel baseball from a random news article this week or last week or whenever to get the merchandise that they want or that they don't even know they need in order to support the team in the Olympics. So
the part of the story you didn't tell was the part of Israel qualifying for the Olympics. That's the part that's fantastic. Can you tell us what you did to do that?
I don't want to give it all away to your listeners in the first 3 minutes. I want to save some of the good stuff for later. September 2019, actually, if back it up a little bit, Israel did qualify for that big tournament I was just talking about before. I spent 10 days in South Korea and Japan watching every single one of those games. Israel won the first four games, and shocked the world, basically, shocked the baseball world. I knew it was going to happen. Not many other people knew it was going to happen. That's why I booked the ticket to South Korea and Japan, and really no one else did. So sure enough, 2 years later, here they were, September 2019, trying to qualify for the Olympics. They were going through about 12 teams total, so them and 11 other teams and a bunch of hoops to go through to qualify for the Olympics. Really long shot, but I thought it was going to happen. So once again, spent 2.5-3 weeks in the first half in Germany, the last few days in Italy, watching two different tournaments that they had to get through in order to qualify for the Olympics. Spent all those days there. It was actually my first time in Europe. Sure enough, baseball led me to Europe for the first time, as I would have always anticipated, honestly. and watched all those games, and they qualified for the Olympics. Miraculously, they were the second team to qualify for the Olympics. There are only six baseball teams competing in the Olympics. The first was Japan because they are the host country, so they got an automatic bid. Israel became the second country, so I really enjoyed looking at the graphics that were being shared on social media after they qualified of, hey, here are the two out of the first six, the first two out of the six countries that have qualified for the Olympics, Japan, which is ranked number one in the world in baseball, and hey, number 18, Israel is the second country. So that was pretty cool, and I got to see that all in person. Wow. Special moment.
So before we get into the Olympics, I just want to talk about the differences between the WBC, the World Baseball Classic, and the Olympics. So first of all, who qualifies to be able to play for countries is different for both of them, right? So with WBC, it could be heritage, like a Jewish player could technically qualify to play for Israel for the WBC. But in order to play for the Olympics, you have to be an actual citizen. Is that correct?
Correct. The World Baseball Classic was created, it's run by Major League Baseball in conjunction with Major League Baseball players. And it was created to help spread baseball around the world. It's created with a very different mission than the Olympics. The Olympics is for the top countries to compete in baseball. The World Baseball Classic was created to raise awareness, raise funds for baseball in existing countries that love baseball already, and for lower level countries like Israel, where baseball is just beginning. So for that reason, they make the rules a bit looser. Where you just have to be eligible to be an Israeli citizen by the law of return. You don't actually have to be an Israeli citizen. So if you're Jewish, if your father is Jewish, if your mother is Jewish, if one of your grandparents are Jewish, if you marry someone who's Jewish, a lot of different ways that you could be eligible to play for Team Israel. So a lot of amazing American Jews who have strong ties, who have weak ties, but they all have ties and they all got strengthened over the course of the World Baseball Classic, which was a separate amazing story that is my favorite part about this whole Team Israel journey. So a lot of those guys joined the team and the coaching staff and went on this amazing ride in 2017 and made lots of Jewish sports fans, lots of Israeli sports fans proud everywhere. The Olympics, on the other hand, you have to be a citizen in order to play on the team. Those are Olympic rules. They have been forever. So in this case, a lot of those guys from the team and a lot of now younger Jewish ball players have made Aliyah. They became citizens. They went to Israel. They went through that whole the whole crazy paperwork process to get citizenship, which I know a lot of them enjoyed, and a lot of them it took a while, but it was worthwhile, and it'll pay off by a trip to the Olympics soon. So every single player now on the Israeli national team that will be competing in Japan at the Olympics is an Israeli citizen, has what's called a Tudat Zehut, which is the identification card in Israel to show that you're a citizen. And it's quite a spectacular thing that we're going to be seeing soon.
So the last thing that I want to mention about the WBC before we get into actually this Olympics is that I believe that one of the reasons that the WBC started was that the Olympics took baseball out of its rotation of sports at one point. I think the last time it was played as an official sport was either 2000 or 2004. And then the WBC started as a way to promote baseball because it wasn't getting the international stage that it used to get. And last Olympics in 2016, they brought baseball back as a not as an official sport yet, but just to present it. And then this year, or actually it was supposed to be last year, which we'll get to in a second, was supposed to be there the second time that baseball has been inaugurated into the Olympics. Did I get any of that wrong?
I think it was just about right. I think the last time the Olympics were played in baseball was played in the Olympics was actually 2008.
Got one wrong.
If I'm not mistaken, no, it's all good. Most people don't even know baseball was ever in the Olympics. Most people don't know baseball was taken away. So you got most of it down. But yeah, Japan, basically every host country, from what I've learned over the past couple of years now, is every host country can choose a couple of sports that it wants to bring back. And Japan, being the baseball obsessed nation that it is, chose to bring baseball back, thankfully. So it had been out the past couple of rounds of Summer Olympics, but now it's back. It'll probably not be a part of the Olympic Games in 2024, because those are going to be in France, and I don't think they chose baseball. But hopefully, if all goes well in 2028, the Olympics will be in Los Angeles. Baseball will be back again. Maybe Israel by then will miraculously qualify again, but you know, one Olympic Games at a time.
All right, so let's talk about the Olympics. So first of all, it was supposed to happen last year. We, of course, entered a global pandemic. So it's going to happen this year. But the question is it actually going to happen?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Because there was touch and go in Japan, whether they had an outbreak, whether they had the whether they had the situation under control. So there is going to be an Olympics. That is going to happen. What about crowds, fans? Is that going to be a thing?
Now, don't take my word for it. That's what I hope. And I don't want to dive deeper into it because I just hope I'm right with the one word answer. Yes. as for fans, I mean, what I do know is that I probably won't be there because they're not allowing overseas spectators to go. So I'm a little worried that this will be the first time in my life that I have to watch a Team Israel game on television as opposed to in the stands. That'll be a new experience for me. Not one that I'm really looking forward to because I really enjoy the environment, but I think the plan is for media to be there, the players, the coaches. It's going to be tight. It's going to be strict. I don't even know if they're going to let Japanese fans in. We'll see. These things are changing every day. So by tomorrow, that may change. So we'll see. We'll see. I hope the Olympics will be interesting if it's without fans. We saw how that was in sports games across the world last year. So.
Right. We're recording this in mid-June. The last two nights, I watched two New York-based sports teams play to packed capacity crowds. One, the New York Islanders played to a capacity crowd in the Coliseum, and the Brooklyn Nets played on the road in Milwaukee to a packed house. So hopefully we'll be able to see those things in other countries soon as well. What are the odds that Israel does well? Now, you were one of the few people that knew that Israel was going to qualify for the WBC and for the Olympics. So let's see if you could prognosticate Israel's chances against a field of six in Japan.
Well, first of all, they have a 50% chance of getting a medal. That's easy. There are six countries, and they are one of them, with U.S. now recently qualifying as another one. So it's going to be really, really fun to have two countries that I am rooting for in the Olympics at once. So maybe between my two home countries, we'll get two medals. That would be exciting. So 50% chance they get a medal. If they get a medal, it would be – I can't even begin to explain how big that would be for baseball's growth in Israel. People in Israel are obsessed with the Olympics. We've seen that with judo. We've seen that with so many other things in Israel. When an Olympian or an Olympic team does well, and this is the first Olympic team for Israel since soccer, I think back in the 1970s, Israel sent a soccer team to the Olympics. So if Israel does well in baseball, it would do a world of a difference for baseball's growth in Israel. So I'm excited for that. Do I think they'll do well? Absolutely. I did think they'd do well in the World Baseball Classic. They did. Before that, I thought they'd qualify. They did. I was really one of the only believers in terms of fans, aside from the players and coaches themselves. I may have even believed more than some of the players that they would qualify for the Olympics. And a few of them have even told me that they can't believe how passionate I am and how much I believe in the team, and that it gets them fired up before the games, seeing me in the stands and knowing how much I care, how much it means to me, and how much I believe in them. So I seriously think they can do well. And I'm not just saying that because I'm biased. I know their roster. I know these guys. I know the coaching staff, how hard they work behind the scenes. I know how much they've also been anticipating it longer than most countries now because they've been qualified since before the pandemic. Mexico just fired their manager. That's one other team that's qualified for the Olympics. So maybe they're in a state of disarray. I don't know. Japan is going to be incredible, especially because they're on their home turf. So I wouldn't put anything past them. USA is USA, but there won't be any Major League Baseball players. That's a rule with Major League Baseball. Like you mentioned a little bit earlier, is that's why they created the whole World Baseball Classic, is because the Olympics sort of interrupts Major League Baseball season. So there won't be any Major League Baseball players on any of the other teams, USA, South Korea, Japan. So Israel gains a little bit of a step up there. And we'll see. I mean, we'll see. I think they're going to do well, and I'll be rooting them along every step of the way, and hopefully a lot of people will be tuning in wherever it's going to be broadcast.
Now let's talk about the players that are going to be on this team. So first of all, I have to say, you have my favorite player of all time on. This is such a weird player to have be my favorite player, but Ian Kinstler is my favorite player of all time, and it dates back to a play that I saw when he was on the Tigers, I believe, where he let a pop-up drop in front of him and got the lead runner out at second because he was a faster runner and let the slower runner take first. And it wasn't an infield fly. It was my favorite, like, heads up, just smart baseball player play. And if you ask my friends that I play softball with, like, they'll know, like, Ian Kinstler is my, I wear my socks high because of Ian Kinstler. But who else on this team might we know about from maybe their prior experience as a major leaguer or any other reason that they are of note other than the fact that they are now going to be Olympians?
Good question. Well, Ian Kinsler is awesome. He's one of the guys I have not yet gotten to know, but I'm sure I will soon, because he is the most recent addition to the team and also the biggest name addition to the team, as expected, with all of his years of experience in Major League Baseball. In terms of other guys, there have been guys that have been playing. Let's see, how would I start? Let's see, Ty Kelly. Ty Kelly played for the Mets for a while, so your audience will love rooting for him, probably, unless maybe 50% are Yankees fans or 50% are Mets 50% fans.
50% of our audience aren't even New Yorkers, so don't assume.
Okay, fine. I mean, everyone loves Ty Kelly, so it's safe to assume that people will love Ty Kelly because he's hilarious. If you don't follow him on Twitter, you should follow Ty Kelly on Twitter. I don't know his handle off the top of my head, but you should.
I didn't link it.
And then who else? I mean, there's Danny Valencia, there's Ryan LaVarnway, there's John Moscott, there's Josh Zide. A bunch of these guys have past big league experience, like Ty Kelly. And so they do have some, none of them are stars. None of them are like Ian Kinsler. They have a couple World Series championships on the team. But a lot of these guys are scrappy minor league players that made it up to AAA, made it up to the higher levels of the minor leagues, or are playing in independent ball, which is even lower than the minor leagues, but still professional baseball. That's what I love about this team. There are no superstars. There's no flashy names. These are guys that have grinded it out for so many years because they love the game of baseball and because they're good guys and as a result, good teammates, and they get kept around the game for a long time. Very smart group of guys too. Your listeners may recognize the names Josh Zide and Ryan LaVarnway because they played a huge part in the World Baseball Classic.
Right.
But there are some younger guys that are still in the minor leagues battling their way up, who may play for the team. And I guess the most exciting part are the guys that were born in Israel. There are a couple on this squad that didn't make Aliyah that were actually born in Israel. Shlomo Lipitz, who is the absolute legend. He is a pitcher. He's the absolute legend of Israel baseball. He's in his 40s. He's been pitching forever. He was the first name and the biggest name in Israel baseball, and no other baseball player probably in history, definitely ever, and maybe not forever, will be named Shlomo. So you're watching Shlomo pitch on a baseball field is amazing. And then Alon Leishman and Asaf Loengard and Tal Arel, these are names that the average fan won't know necessarily, but these are some of the guys that are at the core of the team so that everyone truly knows what it means to be Israeli, learning Hebrew phrases from them, learning how to eat Israeli foods, listening to Israeli music in the clubhouse, and you name it, they keep the place light. I remember during the Olympic qualifiers seeing a picture of Alon Leishman playing matkot with his friends, his teammates who are now his friends on the field before warmups. Matkot are those annoying paddles that people play on the beach with this plastic ball where you hit it back and forth and back and forth and makes a lot of noise. So that's how they were warming up. That's how Israeli baseball team warms up is, is with a classic Israeli game.
This is the Jewish Living Podcast, and we do focus on Orthodox Judaism. Any Shomer Shabbos players on the team?
No. As of now, no. My hope is that one day there will be, and my guess is that one day there will be, because there are some really talented young stars that are entering college soon that are modern Orthodox and they keep kosher, and it's going to be exciting when that does happen. I do know one guy on the team, I believe, keeps kosher. I know the equipment manager, who is also the president of the Israel Association of Baseball. His name is Jordi Alter. He's originally from New Jersey, and he recently took over as the head of Israel Association of Baseball. So whenever I've been traveling, that's usually who I do my Shabbat meals with and find kosher food with. And we just scavenger around Germany and Italy trying to look for kosher food. So that was fun. But no, not yet. Hopefully one day. But what's exciting about this team, and I mentioned this a little bit before, is these guys all have a really incredible spark. Whether it's a big spark or a little spark, these guys all have an incredible spark that connects them to Judaism, that connects them to Israel, and they really care about representing not only Israel, but they know they're representing Jews around the world as this talented squad of Jewish ballplayers on the big stage in Japan. You can't get any bigger than the Olympics, honestly. So
that's right.
They know, and they know all the different types of Jews they're representing, all the different types of Israelis they're representing. And it means a lot to them, whether Orthodox or not. It's a team to root on 110%.
All right. So earlier you mentioned about how this is the first team sport that Israel has sent to since soccer in the 70s, perhaps. Do you personally, or does the team in general, have anything to do with the rest of the contingency of athletes that Israel is sending over to the Olympics? It's a small contingency, especially compared to other countries. But is there some sort of a camaraderie that either has already developed or that will probably develop as they move along into getting there?
It's a good question. I don't know the answer 100% because I'm not on the ground in Israel. I know they're going to all be wearing the same outfits that were just released for Olympic team members to be wearing. So they'll all be wearing these really cool matching outfits. They're going to be representing the same country. So that's the tie that they have. I know a couple of the guys on the team that speak fluent Hebrew have gotten more involved because it's much easier for them to connect with the rest of the Olympians and the National Olympic Committee in Israel. I know that firsthand from living in Israel. It's not the easiest thing for people that don't speak fluent Hebrew to connect with Israelis right away. But I'm sure once the Olympics begin and once they're all together and not training in all different places, once they're all together in the Olympic Village, whatever it'll be, the bubble this year, I'm sure they'll all get to know each other and they'll all either walk down at opening ceremonies together or closing ceremonies. I don't know how that's going to work this year with COVID, but I know the Olympic Committee definitely, when Israel baseball qualified in September 2019, they were not expecting their contingency to double just like that from a whole baseball team. They were expecting maybe someone in judo, maybe someone in sailing, and a variety of other smaller sports, individual sports. So I know that caught them off guard, but it's gonna turn out great, I'm sure.
Israel has won a gold medal. The first one was in windsurfing, I believe, back in either 2008 or 2012. It'll be interesting to get another medal, especially because this is a team sport, and then most Israeli medals have been in individual sports, if not all of them. I want to get into the part of this that you're involved with, but before I'm going to do, because you mentioned that you're a Marlins fan, and it's nice to talk to a fellow Marlins fan. Here I have my Marlins baseball that I got from when I was in the old, at that point it was Pro Player Park. And here I have my autographed Giancarlo Stanton ball from the 2013 World Baseball Classic back when he was on the team. So it's nice to talk to another Marlins fan. There's not too many of us in existence, but
that's definitely true.
We're talking about merchandise here, which is the thing that you're dealing with. So first of all, what merchandise is available right now and where can people get it? And second of all, when can we get jerseys? Not t-shirts with the name on the back, jerseys.
Well, first of all, the merchandise that's available now is more merchandise that was available than was available over 2017, 2018, 2019. So the fact that there is merchandise is huge for the team, for the Israel Association of Baseball. I realized originally back in 2017 that there was not enough Team Israel merchandise. That was run by Major League Baseball, so that was a little bit different by who was in charge of the merchandise. But it was really sad here getting so many messages and seeing so many people ask me for years after that, where can we get Team Israel merchandise? We want to support Team Israel. We can't find anything. And I said, there's not much out there anymore unless you can miraculously find something on eBay. And then at the qualifiers in 2019, there was still nothing, not much. I decided when I came back to America after that, I decided to make it my mission to help create merchandise, given that my background for 5 years or 6 years by now has been in e-commerce. So I have a merchandise and I have a marketing background professionally when I'm not a baseball fan. And coordinated with a couple of people, pulled some strings, put some people in touch, and we launched a online merchandise store for Team Israel back in January 2020. With the anticipation that the Olympics would be in 6 months. Turns out the store has been around for much longer now that the Olympics were pushed off. There's a huge selection and it's a lot of fun. The shop is very easy to use, very easy to look through. The website is teamisraelbaseball.com. Give it a quick plug. And you can get t-shirts, you can get hoodies, you can get hats, kippahs. You can still get masks if you want. You can get shorts, you can buy a gift card for someone, a little bit of everything, but most importantly, you can buy shirts with the player and coach's names on the back if you are a fan of Ty Kelly. You know, Izzo, if you are a fan of Ian Kinsler, you can get one of those today. and there are some fun ones too. There are some really fun, creative, you know, Jewish baseball designs that don't necessarily have much directly to do with Israel, but are still funny and still support Israel baseball. Every sale on this site goes to help fund Israel baseball's Olympic journey. And yeah, the shop keeps getting better and have a few surprises still up our sleeves over the next, until the Olympics
I guess. Now I also want to point out that for those of you who have those generic Jewish names that always wanted to have your name on the back of a jersey, there are plenty of people out there that might have the name Fishman or Katz or Rosenberg.
Rosenbaum and Rosenbaum. Weiss. That was one of my favorite parts when I launched this new product line back on April 15th with the players' names. I said, holy cow, people can actually get, you know, you just have to be Jewish with the last name Weiss. And now every single Jewish baseball fan with Weiss can get a shirt with their name on it. Every single Jewish baseball fan with the name Katz. I said, this is one of the greatest things to happen in the history of Jewish baseball fans.
That's right. So if you have always lamented the fact that there are no, you know, jerseys for sale with a Jewish last name, or not many of them, there are a lot of generic Jewish last names on this team that you may be interested in getting.
My biggest regret is that Brad Goldberg, who was on the team in 2017, is not on the team anymore. He's a college coach now, because having a shirt with Goldberg on the back would have been the clincher. So that's unfortunate. Maybe another Goldberg will come along one day.
All right. So for those who want to see Israel baseball live in action, there are going to be some exhibition games coming up. Where can people find out about where the games are, or if you want to announce where the games are now, and where can people buy tickets?
Yeah, so there's going to be a bunch of games all in the Northeast between July 11th and July 20th. Some will be in New York, some will be in Connecticut, some will be in Maryland, and some will be in Pennsylvania. Unfortunately, none in New Jersey, but you can't hit everywhere in the span of 9 days or 10 days. So it's going to be a lot of fun. There's been a bunch. They keep getting scattered with the announcements and the press releases. There's going to be in Brooklyn. There's going to be in Muncie area. There's going to be in Hartford, Connecticut. There's going to be two in middle of nowhere, Pennsylvania, in Lancaster and Harrisburg. So I don't know if anyone listening to this podcast may be near those areas. And there's going to be a couple near the Baltimore Silver Spring area in Bethesda and Aberdeen, if I remember correctly. So there's a bunch of those scheduled. If you go to the Israel Association of Baseball website, which is baseball.org.il, they're all listed there. Follow Israel Baseball on social media, follow the Israel Baseball Shop on social media, and it'll be in the news quite a bit over these next few weeks and through the until the team departs to Japan for the Olympics. I hope everyone who's a baseball fan, and even if you're not a baseball fan, even if you love supporting Israel or you just want a fun outing for kids, I hope everyone shows up. It's going to be a lot of fun. There will be merchandise available. That is the hope at these stadiums. So you can buy online in advance. You can buy at the stadium. Either way, merchandise or not, you can support and watch these guys and get to know these names. Maybe get some autographs, if that's allowed because of COVID, before they head off to Japan. It'll be quite a lot of fun.
Yeah, just so we know, if you go and watch these games and support these players by buying tickets, by buying merchandise, a lot of that funding goes to promoting baseball in Israel, goes directly to the team to help them get to the Olympics, to help purchase things at the Olympics, and to help basically fund Israel baseball into the future. So it's not just that you're going to get the experience of watching, you know, an Israel baseball team. It's not that you're going to get a t-shirt or a yarmulke with the Israel logo on it. It's that you're actually helping to support what might be considered one of the most important Jewish athletic adventures of our lifetime to this point. What about the Olympics in general? Is the schedule out for the actual games that are going to be, you know, counting?
Yeah, so opening ceremonies for the Olympics are July 23rd. The baseball tournament only begins on the 27th of July, but Israel's first game is going to be on the 28th of July, which is a Thursday. So hopefully everyone will be able to wake up early in the morning here in America, or middle of the day in Israel, to be watching, because it'll be evening Japan time. So there will be games if the schedule stays as it is, and we know nothing is guaranteed over the past year and a half, so things may change. But as of now, game on Thursday the 28th, Friday the 29th, both in the morning U.S. time, so that's great for us. And then the rest of the schedule will be determined as the chips fall, depending on wins, losses, seeding, and all that fun stuff that goes into a baseball tournament.
And those of you on the West Coast, we expect you to wake up at 3 a.m. to Definitely. Watch that for those first two games.
It's worth it. I spent nine years watching Marlins games at 3 o'clock in the morning when I was living in Israel. So to watch Team Israel in the Olympics is much more exciting and likely of a win than watching Marlins games at 3 o'clock in the morning. So I think everyone on the West Coast should do that too.
All right, Zach, is there anything else you'd like to impart on us before we let you go?
I guess maybe give one last quick plug to the shop. If anyone does want to get merchandise, again, teamisraelbaseball.com. You can, if you have any specific questions, you can always reach out to Izzo, and then Izzo can reach out to me.
Can people find us on social media?
Yeah, you can find me on social media. I'm on Twitter, very active. If you like baseball, you'll like following me. Zach Raab, ZACKRAAB on Twitter. And the Israel Baseball Shop is on Twitter, IL Baseball Shop. And on Instagram, Israel_baseball_shop. We do a bunch of fun, sometimes giveaways, release new products, and just going to be continuing to support Israel baseball's journey over the next, through the end of the Olympics and everything that comes between now and then. It's going to be fun. So thank you all for listening. And I hope you love baseball even a tiny bit more after listening to this fun conversation.
That's right. And we, of course, are looking forward. I'm still holding out hope for those jerseys to be available. I know we've spoken before, and even if there are jerseys available, it's not going to be a lot of them. So you got to jump on them quickly. I don't know why I'm telling my audience that if I'm going to be competing against them to potentially buy these jerseys. But
yourself at a disadvantage.
I did. Maybe we can cut that out of in post-production.
That'll be in the bloopers afterwards.
Maybe. But Zach, thank you so much for joining us and letting us know about Israel baseball. And thank you for what you've done to help bring some of the merchandise to the market and have it available to us and to help us help support Israel baseball.
Absolutely. So thank you for inviting me to share this story. It's been a blast.
Thank you so much.
My thanks to Zach Raab for joining me this week. A few addendums to the information discussed. Firstly, another game has been added to Team Israel's schedule. They will be playing against the NYPD's baseball team on July 20th in Long Island, New York. The link to tickets for that game can be found in the show notes. Secondly, Japan and the IOC have announced that there definitely will be an Olympic Games this summer, so we can all breathe a sigh of relief that we will actually be getting games this summer. Though if you were counting on going, don't bet on it unless you're covering the games or competing in them. If you would like to hear another episode about Jews and baseball, check out episode 49, Black Hats and Baseball Bats, with MLB draft prospect Eli Kligman. Until next time, Kol Tov.
The Jewish Living Podcast is produced by Sreli Pikus. Our theme song is The Band by A.B. Rottenberg. Follow us on Facebook at The Jewish Living Podcast, and on Twitter and Instagram at Jewish_living. You can also email the show at jewishlivingpodcast@gmail.com. The Jewish Living Podcast is recorded in conjunction with the Queens Jewish Link.